independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The United States military used a GBU-43 weapon in Afghanistan. The GBU-43 is a large, powerful, and accurately delivered weapon.
Yeah, huge, bigly. The bigliest thing we have done since World War II. Massive, mother of all bombs. The Equalizer, or as we call it here, the Mexican Rattler Witch Burner. I don't know why we call it that, but it just sounds fun. Right? It's awesome. 21,600 pounds of steel dropped in a deserty bit of Afghanistan, which is pretty much every bit of Afghanistan. And the reason being, we were targeting some ISIS folk.
We targeted a system of tunnels and caves that ISIS fighters used to move around freely, making it easier for them to target U.S. military advisors and Afghan forces in the area.
They are no longer moving about freely. Bing! The captain has distinguished the no smoking sign. You were able to die freely. It's pretty much what took place there. So there you go. Huge, massive. Mega big bomb. Messages. Why was this message sent? Who sent it? Was Trump involved in it? Some people are asking the question. Did he know that this was coming? I'm sure he knew. Was it his idea? No, he surrounded himself with good people, and good people did what they had to do. That's it. How many people were hurt? Were there innocent people hurt, Mr. Spicy?
The United States took all precautions necessary to prevent civilian casualties and collateral damage as a result of the operation.
There you go. Did all you possibly could. Everything you possibly could to reduce the potential of killing innocents. There's some guilt by association, right? Your husband, your dad, your family, they're terrorists. There's some guilt by association, and there's going to be some blowback. It's what it is, right? I mean, that is what it is. Trump was very excited about it.
Very, very proud of the people. Another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military.
Now, they're not saying whether or not he greenlit it. Or didn't? Did he personally sign off on the use of the BAB, the big-ass bomb? I don't know. He goes, everybody knows exactly what happened.
Everybody knows exactly what happened. So, what happened? And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization.
He gave him total authorization. What does that mean? Little vague, but I think what I read into this is they know what they're doing. The buck stops with me, but they're doing them. I'm doing me. Last week, I sent my message. This week, they've been fighting this long before I was here and even before the last guy was here. And I am letting them do their thing. And that's the way that went. There you go. Problem solved? No, not really. Message sent? Yes. And the message was heard elsewhere, including Pyongyang. Now, whether or not it's received in the way that we would like it to be received, I don't know. But I think he turned and goes, so he's really serious about this stuff. Like, he's not kidding. Like, he's a bit serious about, like, this stuff. Like, it's serious. Yeah, it is. It is serious. Very much so. A lot of people are also asking questions today about the Trumpster and what's going on in the White House. Why there seems to be a shift from one side to another on certain issues. Syria, for instance, don't want to be involved in Syria. Yet last week, he did what he thought was right and necessary and sent a message. And sending a message and being involved are two different things. We refereed. Somebody hit somebody below the belt. Referee took away points. We moved on. We didn't put boots on the ground. Right? None of that stuff happened. But some people are starting to wonder, why is this president not doing the things he said on the campaign trail?
Look at what's happened. It's those entities or individuals in some cases or issues evolving towards the president's position.
Evolving towards the president's position. I don't know about that. What I do know is I think the president's looking at everything in a very pragmatic and real way and understanding that politics is not, right? It's different. We're dealing with a different animal here. We're dealing with people where repercussions don't often come down on them. Where when you don't do something, you don't get fired. Where when you don't do something and come up with results, people don't seem to care that much. So he's learning that. You learn on the fly. As a politician, right, what happens with politicians? They promise the world to people, knowing full well they're not going to deliver, but everybody wants to hear that you're being told you're the greatest and we're going to do everything for you and all of your dreams are going to come true. And I'm not really a politician. I'm some sort of magical wizard or fairy that will grant you your wish, right? And then they get in there, nothing happens. He's a results-based guy. There's nothing wrong with being a results-based guy. And I've said it throughout the show tonight that I want somebody who is results-based. Not an ideologue. Well, Chad, why do you not want an ideologue? Because I want somebody who's going to get a job done. But you want, for so many people, they want the job done their way, period, case closed. That's not me. I understand that. Yeah, I'd love to get my way all the time. Wouldn't you love to get your way all the time? It's not real. It's not realistic. But these people, I'll tell you what, there's a perfect example, and you can use this if you want, Spicy, because we know how you like to use analogies, and sometimes they go a little crazy. If the Democrats and Republicans were trying to figure out a place to eat dinner, they'd starve. Because neither of them want to give an inch. So they'd starve. That's not how I want my politics. I'm hungry. Our choices are Mexican, Italian, or a place with a variety of stuff. You can get some Italian, you can get some Mexican. Is it better than the Mexican food restaurant? No. But we're not eating there. Is it better than the Italian restaurant? No. But we're not eating there. Is it good? Yes. Does it do the job? Yes. There you go. Not always going to get everything you want in life. And I hope that people are starting to see that it's not that he's becoming a centrist. He's becoming a person based on results. Too often we want to put a label on something. You're a centrist. You're a moderate. You're this. I got called a moderate the other day. I'm not a moderate. I look at everything. I give you my opinion based on it all. And I can understand where other people come from in situations. Where most people who are extremist, right, or who are sold for a cause or an ideology or a party will never look at the other side of anything or have an understanding or at least try to of what other people are thinking about or their belief system or what they're going through. Instead, it's their way or the highway. Their way is the absolute right way. That's an extremist. I'm a realist. I understand how things work. Not a moderate. When I find something and we talk about it and I go through it and I understand it, I take a side. A moderate. I'm not Switzerland. Stop giving names to people. He's not a centrist. He's a results-based individual. Some of the results may not be great. Not going to lie to you. Some of them may not, but you know what? Some of them may be really good. It's about negotiating. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. My aunt, I love her. She kind of raised me pretty much. She was there for me from top to bottom. This week she texted me and told me, what'd you forget? And I'm like, oh, sweet goodness. Her birthday. I forgot her birthday. I'm an idiot. My mother still reminds me of the birthday I forgot for her. If you're like me at times, busy and forgetful, Pro Flowers has something that's perfect for you. It's called the Pro Gifter Service. It's the easiest, most fail-proof way to never forget an event, a birthday, an anniversary, to look awesome all year long. This is what's great about the Pro Gifter Service. It allows you to send 3 bouquet deliveries, right? Same address, 3 different addresses, up to a year in advance. So if you forget something, you don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. 3 bouquets with vases and shipping free, all for $99. That's a $70 saving, and you're going to look amazing all year, and you won't be a Chad. Pro Flowers buys direct from the best growers. You get a 7-day freshness guarantee, 7-point quality check before being shipped, so you know they're going to look amazing. I know you're thinking of something, a birthday, an anniversary that you need to send flowers for right now, and this is the perfect service for you. Don't be me. Please don't. Go to proflowers.com and look for the Pro Gifter banner right now on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and boom, you're done. That's proflowers.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
Will there be a lawsuit? Yeah, probably. Dr. Dow has come to understand that he's the guy to stand up for passengers.
Thank God. I was going to do it, but I was like, you know, it's funny because he wouldn't stand up to get off the damn plane, but now he's going to stand up and fight the industry. Little irony there? It was Dower later it was going to happen. I'm going to send in some Dower laters, by the way. It's favorite candy. Now and again, I worry about the way that airlines bully me. What about you, Phil? Do you ever think about it now and again?
I've maybe had a dowry. But really, we were talking earlier about DC-10. DC-10 is definitely a bully. The L-1011, perfect plane.
Yeah. Look at DC. DC-10 is getting beat up on our show. We're bullying the DC-10. And that's for being mean to us for all of those years. It's for being mean to me, man. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I love, again, you know, are we going to sue? Probably. I mean, I don't want to, but you guys have forced our hand. Ugh, crazy. All right, Cosmo, this is at you. That's a magazine, Cosmopolitan. It is not a diet plan. It is cancer. I know she looks great. She has great body image and self-image, confidence now. And that's fantastic. But when you post a tweet that says how this woman lost 44 pounds without stars, any exercise, then you go in there and guess what? It's cancer. That's not. Now, look, inside of there, she talked about how because of the cancer, she started eating healthier. And she changed her eating habits. I get that, okay? But it's, come on. Really? Dude, Steve looks great. What's wrong with him? Oh, he had the Ebola virus. No way. Lucky him. Fantastic. How did he get that? He went to the Congo. God, he looks great. Jeez. You seen those people in the Congo? Man, they got six packs. See their ribs? Cool. How do they do that? Oh, they don't eat? Wow, that'll happen, right? That does. It's just so insane. It really is. What are you thinking? Like, It's, again, you wonder if it's the same thing. Like, when Sean Spicer said that the other day about Hitler and the whole nine yards, not using chemical weapons, did you think as soon as it got out past his teeth that it was like, oh, geez, no. Because the look on the people's faces were like, what? Right? Like they're in an alternative dimension. Do you think when you send that tweet, do you think it's the same thing or you just not think about it? I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. It is crazy. But again, it's cancer. It's not a diet plan. It's not. All right? Bulimia and anorexia, they're not diet plans. Karen Carpenter looks great. What is she, about 47 pounds? Wow. What are you doing, Karen? I'm not eating. Oh, God. You look so good. You're so lucky. It's insane. We're so obsessed with our looks. I go to the gym like 4 or 5 times a week, right? And yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to look like David Beckham, right? Or Victoria, who doesn't want that? But the reality of it all is we're not. And again, that's all genes. That's all genetics. But we are so obsessed with our looks. Like, even now, it's like I'll throw some stuff in my hair, and I'm like, I'm gonna have you know, headphones on, so I'm gonna kind of look like an idiot. So this is as good as it's gonna get. I'm not gonna scare anybody, right? This is fine as long as I don't scare blind people. Like, is there somebody ugly here? As long as I don't do that, then I'm good. You know, I want to fit my clothes a little bit better. You know who looks sharp right now? Phil, your beard. I know Katie doesn't like it. Man, it looks sharp though.
It's not bad looking, but yeah, I'm getting ready to get rid of it.
Oh, man. Just, we are so obsessed with our looks. And I know I look delicious. I do. I get it. If delicious was a Twinkie. I just don't have the time to go and do that. And God forbid that you catch cancer and go, God, I am so excited I got cancer because I can't wait to drop some LBs. Insane. Let's talk about free range kids. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
They're called free range kids. When I was a kid, we were called latchkey kids or just kids. Nowadays, you can't let kids do anything without do-gooders stepping in. Please, CPS, it's insane. Yesterday, we talked about poor Mike Tang down there in Corona, California, who, of course, is potentially going to be doing time over the fact that he taught his kid a lesson. Joining us now is the Free Range Kids founder and just a woman who does a ton of stuff. And she likes man buns. Laura Scanese joins us. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Say on my tombstone, she founded Free Range Kids and for some reason likes man buns.
Likes man buns. You know, we talked a bit yesterday about the Mike Tang incident. Here's a guy that, you know, trying to teach his kid a lesson, and for that he gets 56 days of work release.
Hard labor, right.
It's insane. How did we get here? We're going to the park by yourself at age 8 or 9 is now potentially the most deadly thing you could do for a child?
Yeah, it's the most deadly thing you can do as a parent because you could get arrested. Although somebody was asking me today how many get arrested, and really, I don't know. I'm like the Nancy Grace of arrested parents. When a parent gets arrested for letting their kid wait in the car 3 minutes or walk to school or play outside in their yard or in the park, I get a call. So to me, it seems like it's happening all the time. And the reason it's happening is that we've come to the conclusion, completely erroneously and unfactually based, that anytime a child is unsupervised, they are automatically and instantly in serious, grave danger. Did you see the thing I was writing about last week and just railing about the woman in IKEA? Did you read about this?
No.
Okay, so this is actually a week after another mom in a grocery store had said basically the same thing. So this woman writes on her Facebook page that she was at IKEA with her three young children and her mom, and as she was walking around, she felt something strange, and there were two men who kept looking at her children. And she said, thank God I didn't glance down at my phone, or I would not have them anymore, because I just got this funny feeling, and it must have been so that these men wanted to sex traffic my children. And that's all it took. I mean, it was shared 100,000 times, and all the comments underneath go like, yikes, thanks for warning us, and oh, this is so helpful, and now I'll never glance at my phone when I have my children right next to me in a public place and my mother also watching them, and one of the babies, by the way, is in a sling, you know, clutching my breast. But nonetheless, somehow the fact that there were two men who seemed to be following us through IKEA, and of course, everybody follows everyone through IKEA. There's no way to get through IKEA without looking at every last, you know, garbage can and pillow. So she was writing something that was based on complete conjecture, and I would say utter paranoia. It was shared 100,000 times and therefore amplified 100,000 times by people who shared this. And it gets to the point where if you believe that a child can be taken from you at IKEA in front of all the other parents and other shoppers and cameras and pillows, then you believe that any time a parent deliberately allows a child to go outside by themselves, that parent is basically saying, here you go, traffickers, I don't care, take him if you want, I'm sick of him. So people believe that children are in constant danger.
I'm talking to Lenore Scanese, Free Range Kids founder, how to raise safe kids, self-reliant children without going nuts with worry. You know what? It's funny. The other day I was reading the UNICEF report about why, like, the Dutch kids are so happy. And the number two thing about them is the fact that their parents let them be kids, ride their bikes, do all kinds of things like that, climb trees. We have stopped doing that because, again, it's the paranoia.
It is, but it's so interesting that you say that let kids be kids, because there's a very different definition of what letting kids be kids means in that country, which is letting them be independent. And here it means putting them in the back seat and driving them to some place where you supervise them in a structured activity, and then you put them back in the car, and then you drive them to the next structured activity. And that is different from, as you probably remember, getting on your bike and riding around the neighborhood as if you were, you know, the coolest kid with your own Mustang. I mean, it was so freeing to just hop on your bike and ride wherever you wanted to go, the beach or the library, it didn't matter, and stay out till the streetlights came on. And nowadays, you know, it's rare to see a child on a bike. It is so rare to see a child walking by himself or walking home from the park or on their bike that people call 911 to say they've seen one of these things, and they're like, they're confused. What is this thing doing? It's like a lemur escaped from the zoo. It's like, what is this thing doing out on the street? This is like wildlife. It shouldn't be here. And then along come the police. The police have an inflated idea of danger, because otherwise they would see themselves as less important, or else they turn them over to Child Protective Services, which has to do something. And frankly, I do want them to take children away where the parents are literally torturing them or not feeding them or beating them or pimping them out. But I don't want them to take the children away from parents who let them play outside. But that's what happens. If you start defining any time a child is unsupervised as ipso facto dangerous, then it means that any parent who lets a kid have quote-unquote freedom, or what you were saying, lets a kid be a kid, that's a parent who's letting a kid be kidnapped.
You know, Laura, when I was growing up, I'm 46, again, I was the latchkey kid. I was a kid who would walk home. My mom and dad wouldn't get home till later in the evening. Even at 6 and 7, I'd be home by myself for, you know, 2-3 hours, and there wasn't a worry. The other kids in the neighborhood would play. I never worried about getting snatched up. The fact is, we live in the safest time in our history,
yet for some reason,
we've lost it.
We really have. I mean, there's so many reasons. I mean, I give lectures about this all the time, and there's, like, I can whip you through the four basic reasons, but I just read a fifth, and I thought that these other people were making a lot of sense. There's a website, I think, called The Art of Manliness. And so the four basic reasons are the media. You know, media was not nearly as saturated into our lives as it is lately. And, of course, when you have so much competition, you have to go for the most exciting, visceral story that will keep people tuning in. And that story is of a white middle-class child who's kidnapped by a stranger. It's the rarest crime, but it's like one of the most common things you see on TV. And then you see it rippling through all the drama shows in the evening, and your brain doesn't realize that it's just getting all these messages, it mashes them all up in their brain as, like, happening all over. And it's so easy for your brain to retrieve these images when you think, can my kid wait at the bus stop? You go, no, J.C. Dugard was at the bus stop. No, Eitan Peitz was at the bus stop. And you can't see the millions, the tens of millions. I mean, it's been about 40 years since Eitan Peitz was kidnapped, and that's been about maybe 200 million children who have gone to their bus stops and come home and done their homework. But you don't see them. You only see the scary stories. So you have the media happening. You have a litigious society, which makes us all start thinking like lawyers and how this could be dangerous and this could go wrong. You have experts in the magazines and on television, especially those morning shows, just telling you everything that could possibly go wrong, and this happened to me, and my child was eating a pen cap, and he died, that kind of thing, just like the weird stories get a ton of attention. And then finally you have the marketplace, which wants to sell you products. And so there are products that will, you know, allows you to keep your eyes on your child all the time, watch them on a map as you RFID tag them as they walk their way home, and never, you know, we know it's anxiety producing to let your child walk home a few blocks. Wouldn't it be great to be able to see them on a screen while they do it? And it's like, you know, we never thought of it as anxiety-producing that the kid was walking home three blocks from school. But now it's been defined by the marketplace as something anxiety-producing so that it can assuage the anxiety by selling us, you know, an app or a product or something that's expensive. But the newest idea, and I'll stop after this, is that because we are so safe, it's so weird and so anomalous and so terrifying when something terrible does happen to a child that it almost feels like, well, all of us kept our children safe. What did you do wrong? It's this illusion of control. And once you have the illusion of control, the idea that anything bad could ever happen to any child because of fate or God's great plan or bad luck doesn't enter into it. It's because a parent wasn't watching closely enough. And once that becomes the parameter of what makes a good parent, or the paradigm, or whatever the para word is, then parents start feeling like they must watch every single second lest anything bad happen, because everybody else's kids are so safe, they don't want theirs to be the one.
Talking to Lenore Scadese from Free Range Kids, and you know, you talk about parents. I think parents now, it's a spectator sport, and everybody's here to judge your parenting. And you talked about with Mike Tang that there's a moralistic side of things. If we like you, we're going to give you a pass. If we think morally you're doing something we don't agree with, we're going to come after you hard.
I'll tell you about a fascinating study that was done at the University of California at Irvine in a second, but I just want to say that today it was so obvious because there were two stories in the news today. There's Mike Tang back in the news because there was a video done at Reason.com of him explaining why he let his son walk a mile home at dusk. He was trying to teach him a lesson. Don't do your homework and you'll end up homeless, and here's how it feels. And just, he was at his wit's end. And maybe it wasn't a great parenting decision, but it wasn't a dangerous parenting decision because the kid knew the way home, and it's a very safe neighborhood. But we hate Mike for doing that, for forcing his child. But we're all celebrating the 8-year-old in Ohio who hopped in his parents' truck or SUV with his 4-year-old sister and drove to McDonald's, having learned how to drive by watching YouTube videos. So it's like, wow, kids will be kids, and isn't that funny? And you got to see this. This is so cute. Versus, oh my God, how dare a dad trust an 8-year-old outside at all? And so, when you hate the parent, suddenly see it as dangerous. The kid in the car is seen as a hero, and the kid who had to walk home somehow is considered in grave danger.
You know, I saw something, I think it was in Ohio again today, where a family had one of their kids taken away from CPS because they won't have their kid tested for ADD.
Their
issue.
Yeah, I know. It's so wild. I mean, that's sort of what led me over towards more of a libertarian outlook, because I started realizing how much the government wants to have a say in how I raise my kids. And I don't want the government deciding, you know, what I can feed them, what I have to test them for, when I allow them to walk to school or play outside or go into the men's room without me dragging them into the ladies' room. I mean, these are decisions that have always been made by parents, and parents always disagree. Sometimes the husband and the wife disagree, but it's not for the government to come in and say, this is how I would do it, so I'm going to make you do it this way. The government is there to save children from death, right? If a child is literally being hurt, harmed, beaten, please have somebody step in and take the child out of harm's way. But don't take the child away simply because I do it my way and you do it your way and you think your way is better.
Talking to Lenore Scanese from Free Range Kids. Looking forward, flash forward. You know, you raise a kid like this, the impact on the child is tremendous, because then they get to the age of 18, 19, 20, they leave home for the first time, and they're ill-prepared for their independence that's going to be in front of them, because we have, in a lot of ways, again, this is also parents' fault, we have not prepared them for the rigors of the world. And let's be honest, the world's the dodgeball game. You get hit in the groin every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I always hated dodgeball. But now we're blaming the parents, even though we just said that the parents can't let the kids outside lest they be arrested. So let's take a broader view of what's going on, which is that it is a society that is shoving fear down our throats, and then as the fear becomes believed, then it trickles into law, and then it ossifies there. And so if I think, like you do, it's the safest time in human history, and I want my kid to walk a mile and a half to school, and I do, I don't want to have to worry that somebody else's fear is causing them to call 911 when they see my child on the street, and then a cop comes and his fear means that he's going to immediately arrest me, and then they bring in Child Protective Services, and Child Protective Services thinks that nothing is safe enough, certainly not a child walking a mile and a half. Who's ever done that in the history of human life? And so you can't really blame parents when there's an entire array of threats against them for believing in their kids and believing in their communities. So what we really have to do are the two things that I'm always trying to get people to do, one of which is to pass the Free Range Kids and Parents Bill of Rights, which I would like to see passed in either a city, a town, a county, a state, or the country. And basically it just says this. It says, it's our right, our kids have the right to some unsupervised time, and we have the right to give it to them without getting arrested. And in that one sentence, first of all, you boost your property values, because suddenly people are going to drive by your neighborhood and there's going to be children playing outside and bouncing balls and skipping rope, and the parks will be filled, and everyone will go, that's where I want to live, not in the one where it looks like the children have been vacuumed from the street. So it's good for a town, it's good for values, property values, and it's great for the kids. It gives them that independence that you're talking about, where they do have to figure out, oh my God, my bike just broke and I'm a mile from home, I got to get home on my own. And then it gives parents some freedom too, you know? It's like, look, I've come home, I worked all day, I'd like to be making dinner, go out and play. And I don't have to worry by saying go out and play that I'm going to get a knock on the door from the cops. So the Free Range Kids Bill of Rights is something that every parent should want their town to pass, just to renormalize the idea of the kind of childhood you remember, where you got on your bike and you rode around, or you went to your house, your friend's house, and you knocked on the door and said, let's play. So pass the Free Range Kids Bill of Rights. And then to get everybody, including the parents, used to kids being outside and doing stuff on their own again, because it's been unnormalized, it's been turned into something weird and dangerous, you have to have schools do the Free Range Kids Project. And that is, the teacher tells the kid, okay, tonight when you go home, tells all their kids, tonight when you go home, ask your parents if you can do one thing that you feel you're ready to do that for one reason or another you haven't done yet, like walk the dog or make dinner or get your backpack ready and get yourself to the bus stop tomorrow morning by yourself. And because it's endorsed by the school and because it's a one-shot deal, they don't have to say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, often parents say yes. They'll let their kid do this. They'll let their kid, you know, take the bus to school by themselves the next day. And once parents see the kid come home after doing something on their own, say you said, please go get the bread for dinner, and the kid comes home with the bread, instead of just going, okay, now let's go back to prison, parents are hardwired to feel outrageously proud. Just as proud as the kid feels, if not more. Because look, you've raised a competent kid. Look, he went and got the bread. This is great. Oh, my God. And he says the bread tastes better than anything he's ever eaten, and everybody's eating it, and he's participated in life instead of simply been given something or catered
Absolutely.
To.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It is so true. Lenore, we appreciate you coming on. Free Range Kids, Lenore Scanese, we appreciate you coming on today. Go sign up. Bill of Rights for the kids. Free Range Kids. We appreciate that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Chad. Sorry, I rattled on.
it's okay. It's okay. You like man buns. It happens at time to time. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Man, I think about all the things I used to do as a kid Even now, when I go over to my mom's house, it's the way we react, and we shouldn't. Like you say, you see a kid riding down the street, and I react in such a way with my mom's family is I'm not worried about the kids because I know nothing in life is going to happen to them. And if they kidnapped a few of the kids, they're going to get them back within an hour anyways. But what I worry about is the reaction of other people. It is so true. We're so reactionary. It's amazing. It really is. It's absolutely insane the way that we react to people nowadays because it's become a spectator sport. And I remember back in the day, man, get home. When the streetlights are on, your butt better be inside the house. That was it. Right? Where were you? I was at Raymond's all day. Oh, okay. That was nothing else. Nothing else. Nowadays, man, I'm telling you, we're going to drone kids. Meaning we're going to follow kids around with parental drones so we can look at everything they do, everywhere they go, when they go there, why they go there. We need a full report. There's going to be, it's not even now, how was your day? It's a debriefing. I need to debrief my child. Solid Fun Show today, as always. The Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Go there and like the Facebook for me, please, Chad Benson Show. Check us out on Twitter, and you can text the program 24-7 at 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. As a absent Anthony and an always present Phil, my name is Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Donut Friday tomorrow. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.